by moon or by starlight. I saw him ride over seven streams, over waters wide and grey. I saw him walk in empty lands until he passed away. Into the shadows of the north, I saw him then no more. The north wind may have heard the horn of the son of Denethor. O Boromir, from the high walls, westward I look afar, but you came not from the empty lands where no men are.
Then Legolas sang,
from the mouths of the sea the south wind flies, from the sand hills and the stones. The wailing of the gulls it bears, and at the gate it moans. What news from the south, O sighing wind, do you bring to me at eve? Well, now is Boromir the fair, he tarries and I grieve. Ask not of me where he doth dwell, so many bones there lie. On the white shores and the dark shores, under the stormy sky. So many have passed down Anduin to find the flowing sea. Ask of the north wind news of them, the north wind sends to me. O Boromir, beyond the gate, the seaward road runs south, but you came not with the wailing gulls from the grey sea's mouth.
Then Aragorn sang again.
From the gate of kings the north wind rides, and past the roaring falls, and clear and cold about the tower its loud horn calls. What news from the north, O mighty wind, do you bring to me today? What news of Boromir the bold, for he is long away? Beneath Armon Hen I heard his cry, there many foes he fought. His cloven shield, his broken sword, they to the water brought. His head so proud, his face so fair, his limbs they laid to rest. And Rauros, golden Rauros falls, bore him upon its breast. O Boromir, the Tower of God, shall ever northward gaze, to Rauros, golden Rauros falls, until the end of days.
So they ended. Then they turned their boat and drove it with all the speed they could against the stream, back to Parthgarlan.
"You left the east wind to me," said Gimli, "but I will say naught of it."
"That is as it should be," said Aragorn. "In Minas Tirith they endure the east wind, but they do not ask it for tidings. But now Boromir has taken his road, and we must make haste to choose our own." He surveyed the green lawn, quickly but thoroughly, stooping often to the earth.
"No orcs have been on this ground," he said. "Otherwise nothing can be made out for certain. All our footprints are here, crossing and recrossing. I cannot tell whether any of the hobbits have come back since the search for Frodo began." He returned to the bank, close to where the rill from the spring trickled out into the river.
"There are some clear prints here," he said. "A hobbit waded out into the water and back, but I cannot say how long ago."
"How then do you read this riddle?" asked Gimli.
Aragorn did not answer at once, but went back to the camping place and looked at the baggage. "Two packs are missing," he said, "and one is certainly Sam's. It was rather large and heavy. This, then, is the answer. Frodo has gone by boat, and his servant has gone with him. Frodo must have returned while we were all away. I met Sam going up the hill and told him to follow me, but plainly he didn't do so. He guessed his master's mind and came back here before Frodo had gone. He didn't find it easy to leave Sam behind.
But why should he leave us behind, and without a word? Said Gimli. That was a strange deed.
And a brave deed, said Aragorn. Sam was right, I think. Frodo didn't wish to lead any friend to death with him in Mordor, but he knew that he must go himself. Something happened after he left us that overcame his fear and doubt.
Maybe hunting orcs came on him and he fled, said Legolas.
He fled, certainly, said Aragorn, but not, I think, from orcs.
What he thought was the cause of Frodo's sudden resolve and flight, Aragorn did not say. The last words of Boromir he long kept secret.
Well, so much at least is now clear, said Legolas. Frodo is no longer on this side of the river. Only he can have taken the boat. And Sam is with him. Only he would have taken his pack.
Our choice, then, said Gimli, is either to take the remaining boat and follow Frodo, or else to follow the orcs on foot. There is little hope either way. We have already lost precious hours.
Let me think, said Aragorn. And now may I make a right choice, and change the evil fate of this unhappy day. He stood silent for a moment.
I will follow the orcs, he said at last. I would have guided Frodo to Mordor and gone with him to the end, but if I seek him now in the wilderness, I must abandon the captives to torment and death. My heart speaks clearly at last. The fate of the bearer is in my hands no longer. The company has played its part. Yet we that remain cannot forsake our companions while we have strength left. Come, we will go now. Leave all that can be spared behind. We will press on by day and dark. They drew up the last boat and carried it to the trees. They laid beneath it such of their goods as they did not need and could not carry away. Then they left Parthgarlan. The afternoon was fading as they came back to the glade where Boromir had fallen. There they picked up the trail of the orcs. It needed little skill to find.
No other folk make such a trampling, said Legolas. It seems their delight to slash and beat down growing things that are not even in their way.
But they go with a great speed for all that, said Aragorn, and they do not tire. And later we may have to search for our path in bare, hard lands. Well, after them, said Gimli. Dwarves too can go swiftly, and they do not tire sooner than orcs. But it will be a long chase. They have a long start.
Yes, said Aragorn. We shall all need the endurance of dwarves. But come, with hope or without hope, we will follow the trail of our enemies, and woe to them if we prove the swifter. We will make such a chase as shall be accounted a marvel among the three kindreds, elves, dwarves, and men. Forth the three hunters! Like a deer he sprang away. Through the trees he sped. On and on he led them, tireless and swift, now that his mind was at last made up. The woods about the lake they left behind. Long slopes they climbed, dark, hard-edged against the sky already red with sunset. Dusk came. They passed away, grey shadows in a stony land.
Chapter 2 The Riders of Rohan. Dusk deepened. Mist lay behind them among the trees below, and brooded on the pale margins of the Anduin, but the sky was clear. Stars came out. The waxing moon was riding in the west, and the shadows of the rocks were black. They had come to the feet of stony hills, and their pace was slower, for the trail was no longer easy to follow. Here the highlands of the Emyn Muil ran from north to south in two long tumbled ridges. The western side of each ridge was steep and difficult, but the eastward slopes were gentler, furrowed with many gullies and narrow ravines. All night the three companions scrambled in this bony land, climbing to the crest of the first and tallest ridge, and down again into the darkness of a deep, winding valley on the other side. There, in the still, cool hour before dawn, they rested for a brief space. The moon had long gone down before them, the stars glittered above them, the first light of day had not yet come over the dark hills behind. For the moment Aragorn was at a loss. The orc trail had descended into the valley, but there it had vanished. "Which way would they turn, do you think?" said Legolas. "Northward to take a straighter road to Isengard, or Fangorn, if that is their aim, as you guess, or southward to strike the Entwash?"
"They will not make for the river, whatever mark they aim at," said Aragorn.
"And unless there is much amiss in Rohan, and the power of Saruman is greatly increased, they will take the shortest way that they can find over the fields of the Rohirrim. Let us search northwards." The dale ran like a stony trough between the ridged hills, and a trickling stream flowed among the boulders at the bottom. A cliff frowned upon their right. To their left rose grey slopes, dim and shadowy in the late night. They went on for a mile or more northwards. Aragorn was searching, bent towards the ground, among the folds and gullies leading up into the western ridge. Legolas was some way ahead. Suddenly the elf gave a cry, and the others came running towards him. "We have already overtaken some of those that we are hunting," he said. "Look," he pointed. And they saw that what they had at first taken to be boulders lying at the foot of the slope were huddled bodies. 5 dead orcs lay there. They had been hewn with many cruel strokes, and 2 had been beheaded. The ground was wet with their dark blood.
"Here is another riddle," said Gimli. "But it needs the light of day, and for that we cannot wait."
"Yet, however you read it, it seems not unhopeful," said Legolas. "Enemies of the orcs are likely to be our friends. Do any folk dwell in these hills?"
"No," said Aragorn. "The Rohirrim seldom come here, and it is far from Minas Tirith. It might be that some company of men were hunting here for reasons that we do not know, yet I think not."
"What do you think?" said Gimli.
"I think that the enemy brought his own enemy with him," answered Aragorn. "These are northern orcs from far away. Among the slain are none of the great orcs with the strange badgers. There was a quarrel, I guess. It is no uncommon thing with these foul folk. Maybe there was some dispute about the road."
"Or about the captives," said Gimli. "Let us hope that they, too, did not meet their end here."
Aragorn searched the ground in a wide circle, but no other traces of the fight could be found. They went on. Already the eastward sky was turning pale, the stars were fading, and a grey light was slowly growing. A little further north, they came to a fold in which a tiny stream, falling and winding, had cut a stony path down into the valley. In it some bushes grew, and there were patches of grass upon its sides.
"At last," said Aragorn, "here are the tracks that we seek. Up this water channel, this is the way that the orcs went after their debate."
Swiftly now the pursuers turned and followed the new path. As if fresh from a night's rest, they sprang from stone to stone. At last they reached the crest of the grey hill, and a sudden breeze blew in their hair and stirred their cloaks, the chill wind of dawn. Turning back, they saw, across the river, the far hills kindled. Day leaped into the sky. The red rim of the sun rose over the shoulders of the dark land. Before them in the west, the world lay still, formless and grey. But even as they looked, the shadows of night melted. The colours of the waking earth returned. Green flowed over the wide meads of Rohan. The white mist shimmered in the water vales, and far off to the left, 30 leagues or more, Blue and purple stood the white mountains, rising into peaks of jet, tipped with glimmering snows, flushed with the rose of morning.
"Gondor! Gondor!" cried Aragorn.
"Would that I looked on you again in happier hour. Not yet does my road lie southward to your bright streams. Gondor, Gondor, between the mountains and the sea, west wind blew there, the light upon the silver tree fell like bright rain in gardens of the kings of old. O proud walls, white towers, O winged crown and throne of gold, O Gondor, Gondor, shall men behold the silver tree, or west wind blow again between the mountains and the sea? Now let us go," he said, drawing his eyes away from the south, and looking out west and north to the way that he must tread. The ridge upon which the companions stood went down steeply before their feet. Below it, 20 fathoms or more, there was a wide and rugged shelf which ended suddenly in the brink of a sheer cliff, the east walls of Rohan. So ended the Emynweal, and the green plains of the Rohirrim stretched away before them to the edge of sight.
"Look!"
cried Legolas, pointing up into the pale sky above them. "There is the eagle again. He is very high. He seems to be flying now away, from this land back to the north. He is going with great speed. Look!"
"No, not even my eyes can see him, my good Legolas," said Aragorn. "He must be far aloft indeed. I wonder what is his errand, and if he is the same bird that I have seen before. But look, I can see something nearer at hand and more urgent. There is something moving over the plain."
"Many things," said Legolas. "It is a great company on foot, but I cannot say more, nor see what kind of folk they may be. They are many leagues away, 12, I guess, but the flatness of the plain is hard to measure."
"I think, none the less, that we no longer need any trail to tell us which way to go," said Gimli. "Let us find a path down to the fields as quick as may be."
"I doubt if you will find a path quicker than the one that the orcs chose," said Aragorn. They followed their enemies now by the clear light of day. It seemed that the orcs had pressed on with all possible speed. Every now and again the pursuers found things that had been dropped or cast away. Food bags, the rinds and crusts of hard grey bread, a torn black cloak, a heavy iron-nailed shoe broken on the stones. The trail led them north along the top of the escarpment, and at length they came to a deep cleft, carved in the rock by a stream that splashed noisily down. In the narrow ravine, a rough path descended like a steep stair into the plain. At the bottom they came with a strange suddenness on the grass of Rohan. It swelled like a green sea up to the very foot of the Emynweal. The falling stream vanished into a deep growth of cresses and water plants, and they could hear it tinkling away in green tunnels, down long, gentle slopes towards the fens of Entwash Vale far away. They seemed to have left winter clinging to the hills behind. Here the air was softer and warmer and faintly scented, as if spring was already stirring and the sap was flowing again in herb and leaf. Legolas took a deep breath, like one that drinks a great draught after long thirst in barren places. "Ah, the green smell!" he said. "It is better than much sleep. Let us run!"
"Light feet may run swiftly here," said Aragorn. "More swiftly, maybe, than iron-shod orcs. Now we have a chance to lessen their lead."
They went in single file, running like hounds on a strong scent, and an eager light was in their eyes. Nearly due west, the broad swath of the marching orcs tramped its ugly slot. The sweet grass of Rohan had been bruised and blackened as they passed. Presently Aragorn gave a cry and turned aside.
"Stay!" he shouted. "Do not follow me yet."
He ran quickly to the right, away from the main trail, for he had seen footprints that went that way, branching off from the others, the marks